great plays. The National Broadcasting Company presents Great Plays, a series of famous plays selected to show the development of drama from the sunrise performances in ancient Athens down to the contemporary theater. We are privileged to have with us Mr. Burns Mantle, outstanding American drama critic and known throughout the country for his yearly volume of Broadway's Best Plays. He will act as commentator at today's production of Mary Stuart, starring Jane Cowell, assisted by a distinguished cast featuring Jean Cadell as Queen Elizabeth. Mr. Burns Mantle.
Before we take up Frederick Schiller and Mary Stuart, I want this day to take a minute to answer many queries that have come to us regarding the Great Plays series. It is not possible, without sacrificing the play too greatly, to give more time than we do to its history or that of its author. There is the Great Plays Manual, part two of which has just been issued to cover the remaining plays in this series, which will serve as a guide to those of you who are interested. And there are, of course, the usual library facilities in your respective towns. All we can hope to do is to direct your thought to such study as you may want to follow. Now then, for today's play. Germany was a backward state so far as the early drama was concerned. Her interests trailed that of Italy, France, and England by many years. She was more interested in a 30-year war. Not until well along in the 18th century did German dramatists make notable progress. This period saw the flowering of the genius of both Goethe and Schiller. With the people, Schiller was the more popular. Sensitive, magnetic, eloquently creative, Schiller was another of those fine souls to whom the call of the drama was insistent. Born of a military father and the daughter of a baker, the boy Schiller was literally laughed out of countenance when he wanted to write, and again when he became interested in the church. At the suggestion of the ducal head of his province, he was sent to military school. Having no feeling for soldiering, Schiller turned to medicine, but his writing continued his greater interest. The year he graduated as a surgeon, he had written his first play, The Robbers, and when a production was promised for the play in Mannheim, he went AWOL, as the soldiers say, to see his performance. Brought back and placed under arrest, Schiller managed to escape, and that was the last of soldiering for him. For some years, he lived and wrote under an assumed name. Recognition was slow. He was well in his 30s before his friendship for Goethe really became a factor in his life and his literary growth. Thereafter, each of them exercised a profound influence upon the other. Schiller made a professor of history at the University of Jena, married when he was 30. His wife, a favorite in court circles, was forced to sacrifice the farm in her name when she became his wife, but it was restored to her when her poet husband was later ennobled. The last 10 years of Schiller's life were the poet's most productive years, though he fought constantly against illness. It is told of him that often, when he was too worried to complete a writing task, he would sit with his feet in a tub of cold water to keep awake. Little wonder that he was only 46 when he died. Mary Stuart was written in 1799 and produced a year later. It is for the most part a sympathetic account of the Scotch Queen's effort to win the protection of Elizabeth of England and the tragic failure of that quest. Our radio version of the play, prepared by Edwin Wolfe, the director, opens after Mary has fled Scotland and is imprisoned in the castle of Fotheringay. Mary had, you will remember, returned to Scotland from France following the death of her husband, Francis II, and resumed her reign. She had married the weak Darnley, who was blown to bits, it was charged, by her favorite, Bothwell, whom she afterward married. When the nobles of Scotland demanded her abdication, Mary fled to England and, she hoped, to the protection of Queen Elizabeth. Elizabeth, fearful of her influence, had Mary imprisoned and later tried for treason. We meet the unhappy queen in her room at Fotheringay Castle. She is attended by Hannah, her loyal nurse. Sir Amias Paulet, her keeper at Fotheringay, has just been ransacking Mary's private cabinet and has taken her jewels and papers. Now Mary is seen approaching.
Here comes the queen.
Christ's image in her hand, pride and all worldly lusts within her heart.
Oh, gracious queen, they tread us underfoot. Be calm, my Hannah. Say what has happened. See, thy cabinet is forced, thy papers, and thy only treasure, which with such pains we had secured, the last poor remnant of thy bridal ornaments, your royal diadem, is in Sir Amyas Paulet's hand.
Compose yourself, my Hannah. 'Tis not these baubles which can make a queen. Sir, there's a letter amongst those papers for my royal sister of England. Pledge me, Sir Amyas, your word of honor to give it to Her Majesty's own hands and not to the deceitful care of Burleigh.
I shall consider what is best to do.
In that letter, I beg a favor, a great favor of her, that Queen Elizabeth herself will give me audience, she whom I've never seen. Oh, tell me what I have to fear and what to hope. Is the suit ended, sir?
I cannot tell.
Am I condemned?
I cannot answer, lady.
Uncle?
Aye, Mortimer.
You're sought for.
Sir, one favor more. Spare me in future Mortimer's rude insolence.
I prize my nephew most for that which makes you hate him.
Oh, it is but just, good Hannah. We should now be forced to hear the bitter voice of censure.
With your own heart, make peace, milady. Whatever cause you have for penitence, you are not guilty here. Nor England's queen, nor England's parliament can be your judge.
I hear a step.
It is the nephew Mortimer.
Step to the door, good Hannah. And keep a careful watch. I have important business with the queen.
I charge thee, Hannah, go not hence. Remain.
Fear not, my gracious lady. Read what is written here upon this card. And learn to know me.
Heavens, what's this?
Retire, good Hannah. See that my uncle Paulet comes not unawares.
Go in, do as he bids you, Hannah. Confide in Mortimer, who brings you this. You have no truer, firmer friend in England. From my uncle in France, the worthy Cardinal of Lorraine. Can I believe it? Is there no delusion to cheat my senses? And do I find a friend in you, the nephew of my jailer, whom I call my most inveterate enemy?
Oh, pardon me, most gracious liege, for the detested mask, which it has cost me pain enough to wear. Yet, through such means alone, I have the power to see you, and to bring you help and rescue.
Arise, sir. You astonish me. I cannot so suddenly emerge from the abyss of wretchedness to hope. Let me conceive this happiness, that I may credit it.
Our time is brief. Each moment I expect my uncle. With him, the hated Lord High Treasurer, the crafty Burleigh.
No.
Here, then, before his terrible commission surprises you, how heaven prepares for your rescue.
My sentence, then, is it pronounced? Speak freely. I can bear it.
It is pronounced. The 42 judges have given the verdict. Guilty. Queen Elizabeth still craftily delays that she may be constrained to yield, but not from feelings of humanity or mercy.
Before an executioner is found from me, assassins will be hired to do their work.
Fear no more. All is prepared. 12 nobles of the land are my confederates, and have pledged today upon the sacrament of their faith to free you with dauntless arm from this captivity.
You make me tremble, sir, but not for joy. Know you then what you risk? Fly hence, unhappy youth. As yet, success has never smiled on Mary Stuart's champion. All England guards my prison gates. Elizabeth's free will alone can open them.
Expect not that.
One man alone on earth can open them.
Oh, let me know his name.
Lord Leicester.
He? The Earl of Leicester? Your most bloody foe? A favorite of Elizabeth?
Go to him, sir. Freely confide in him. And as a proof you come from me, present this paper to him. It doth contain my portrait. Take it, sir. I've borne it long about me, but your uncle's close watchfulness has cut me off from all communication with him.
Oh, my queen. Explain this mystery.
Lord Leicester will resolve it. Confide in him, and he'll confide in you. Who comes?
Take Paulette, and he brings with him a nobleman from court.
Lord Billy, collect yourself, my queen, and strive to hear the news he brings with fortitude.
Retire, Hannah, then, with Mortimer.
You wish today assurance of your fate. The Lord of Burleigh brings it to you now.
I come deputed from the Court of Justice.
Lord Burleigh lends that court his willing tongue, which was already guided by his spirit
You speak as if no stranger to the sentence.
Lord Burleigh brings it, therefore do I know it.
You have acknowledged the jurisdiction of the 240.
My lord, excuse me if I interrupt so soon. I never have acknowledged it, my lord. It is enacted by the English laws that everyone who stands arraigned of crime shall plead before a jury of his equals. Who is my equal in this high commission? Kings only are my peers. I do not wish to be exempt from judgment. It is the judges only I disclaim.
The judges? How now, madam? Are they then base riches snatched at hazard from the crowd, vile wranglers that make sale of truth and justice? And were it probable that party hatred could corrupt one heart, can 40 chosen men unite to speak a sentence just as passion gives command?
I am struck dumb by that tongue's eloquence, which ever was so ominous to me. These very men, whose weight you think will crush me, I see performing in the history of these dominions quite different parts. I see this high nobility of England, this grave, majestic senate of the realm, flatter my Uncle Henry's sultan fancies. I see this noble, reverend House of Lords, venal alike with the corrupted commons, make statutes and annul them, ratify a marriage and dissolve it, as the voice of power commands. And these men are my judges?
You strove to set this realm on fire and through the flames of civil war to mount the throne.
When did I strive at that? Here are your proofs.
With Barrington the traitor and his bands of murderous companions are you leagued. You knew of all, and from your prison led their treasonous plottings with a deep-laid plan.
When did I that, my lord? Let them produce the documents.
They were before the court presented
mere
you.
Mere copies written by another hand.
Before his execution, Babington confessed they were the same which he received.
Why was he not in his lifetime produced before my face? Answer me as you can.
Your secretaries, Curl and Now, declare on oath they were the very self-same letters which from your lips they faithfully transcribed.
My secretaries, Curl and Now. How now, my lord? These men are still alive. Let them appear against me face to face. And they'll repeat what they have testified.
You form conspiracies to overturn the fixed religion of the realm. You have called into this kingdom foreign powers and roused all kings in Europe to a war with England.
I came not into England sword in hand. I came as suppliant. And at the hands of my imperial kinswoman, I claimed the sacred rights of hospitality when power seized upon me and prepared to exhibit fetters where I'd hoped perfection.
Talk not, my lady, of the dreadful right of power. Is seldom on the prisoner's side.
I am the weak. Elizabeth, the mighty one. Tis well, my lord. Let her then use her power. Let her destroy me. Let me bleed that she may live secure. But let her then confess that she hath exercised her power alone and not contaminate the name of justice. Let her not borrow from the laws the sword to rid her of her hated enemy. Let her not clothe in this religious garb the bloody daring of licentious might. Let not these juggling tricks deceive the world, though she may murder me. She cannot judge me. Now let her dare to seem the thing she is.
She knows the wavering mind of England's queen. Her apprehensions make her bold. Well might this be avoided, thinks our queen, if she had only more attentive servants.
How more attentive?
Spread the report that Mary wastes, grows sicker still and sicker, and expires at last in peace. Thus will she perish in the world's remembrance. And your good name is pure.
No murderous foot shall e'er approach her threshold while she's protected by my household gods. Her life's a sacred trust. To me, the head of Queen Elizabeth is not more sacred.
I'll to Her Majesty in London.
Burleigh has hastened to an audience with Queen Elizabeth in London. The Queen receives him in a hall of the palace. With him are the Earl of Leicester and Earl of Shrewsbury. It is Burleigh who speaks.
Illustrious sovereign, my gracious Queen Elizabeth, who grant but this,
And England's peace will be established now and evermore.
What wish the people still, Lord Burleigh? Speak.
They demand the Stuart's head.
My lord, I know the purity which guides your zeal, the solemn wisdom which informs your speech. And yet I hate this wisdom when it calls for blood. Think of a milder counsel. Good, my lord of Shrewsbury.
My liege.
We crave your judgment here.
You have no need of counselors. Your conscience knows full well, and it is written there.
Yet speak, my worthy lord of Shrewsbury.
Your majesty, may this realm never buy happiness with its good name.
Forbid it heaven that our good name be stained.
Then must you find some other way than death for Mary Stuart. You cannot upon her pronounce a sentence who is not subject to you. Thou ne'er hast seen her face, and nothing speaks within thy breast to one that's stranger to thee. I do not take the part of her misdeeds. She never heard the earnest voice of truth. She was deluded by the glare of vice, and driven onward by the stream of ruin. Hers was the vain possession of a face, and she outshone all others of her sex, as far in beauty as in noble birth.
Those charms must surely be without compare, which can engender in an elder's blood such fire. My lord of Leicester, you alone are silent. Does the subject which has made him eloquent deprive you of your speech?
Amazement ties my tongue, my queen. To think thy counselors should fill thy soul with such alarms, and that the idle tales, which in the streets of London terrify the people's ears, should reach the enlightened circle of us here. To think this Lackland, Queen of Scotland, she who could not save her own poor throne, the jest of all her vassals and her country's refuse, should become at once thy terror when a prisoner.
Lord Leicester hath not always held this tone.
'Tis true. I, in the court of justice, gave my verdict for her death. Here, in the council, right is not the question, but advantage. Let her live on, my queen. But from that very hour, one arm is lifted for her. Let fall the headsman's axe.
My lord, I now have heard your several thoughts, and give my ardent thanks for this your zeal. Welcome, Sir Amyas Paulet.
The gracious sovereign.
Noble sir, what tidings bring you now from Fotheringay?
Illustrious queen, my nephew Mortimer, but lately come from foreign travel, kneels before thy feet and offers thee his first and earliest homage.
Long live my royal mistress. Happiness and glory form a crown to grace her brows.
Arise, Sir Knight, and welcome here in England. Your enemies have said that you frequented the schools in France and have abjured your faith.
So I pretended. That I must confess, such was my anxious wish, to serve my queen.
What have you there, Paulus?
It is a petition from the Queen of Scots to be addressed.
Give me the paper.
I will leave, my Lord High Treasurer. The lady ordered me to bring it to Her Majesty's own hand.
Give it to me.
What may the purport of the letter be?
He begs to be admitted to the grace of speaking with the queen.
It cannot be.
Why not? Her supplication's not unjust.
For her, the base encourager of murder, her who hath thirsted for a sovereign's blood, the privilege to see the royal presence is forfeited.
And if the queen is gracious, sir, are you the man to hinder pity's soft emotions?
She is condemned to death.
Forgive me, lord. My heart is cleft in twain. Anguish possesses me, and my soul bleeds.
Oh, queen, the God of mercy hath informed your heart. Stretch forth your hand to raise this abject queen.
Be steadfast, mighty queen. Let no emotion take from thee the power of acting as necessity commands.
Let us, my lord, remain within our bounds. The queen is wise, and doth not need our counsels to lead her to the most becoming choice.
Retire, my lord. We shall perhaps find means to reconcile the tender claims of pity with what necessity imposes on us.
Release,
your majesty.
Sir Edward Mortimer.
Release.
Remain. Fate calls you to a lofty scene of action. I prophesy it, and can happily for you fulfill myself my own prediction.
Illustrious mistress, what I am, all that I can accomplish, is devoted to you.
The crown upon my brow forever trembles while she lives who fans the bigot zeal and animates the hopes of all mine enemies.
She lives no more. As soon as you command it.
I must take care that my connivance in her death be wrapped in everlasting doubt. In deeds of such uncertain double visage, safety lies only in obscurity.
Then it were best...
Go on then, worthy sir, conclude. You are in earnest, you examine deep, have quite a different spirit from your uncle.
Such bold adventures ask the enterprising heart of youth.
And may I venture then on you?
My hand I'll lend thee.
Oh, Mortimer, if you but waken me some morning with this news, your bloodthirsty foe breathed yesternight her last.
Depend on me.
When shall my head lie calmly down to sleep?
The next new moon will terminate thy fears.
And be the self-same happy day the dawn of your preferment. But be not hurt if chance my thankfulness should wear the mask of darkness.
Look I then like a murderer? Trust only to my arm, and keep thine own concealed. As thou deludest the world, so e'en I cozen thee. 'Tis right thus to betray you.
What said the queen to you, my nephew?
It was nothing, uncle. Nothing of consequence.
Stand fast, my nephew. But just not too dear nor stain your conscience with a crime.
What are you dreaming of?
How high soe'er the queen may pledge herself, she will deny you if you listen to her. And to preserve her own good name, will punish the bloody deed which she herself enjoined.
Bloody deed?
I know the deed the queen proposed to you. She hoped that your ambitious youth will prove more docile than my rigid age. Have you then pledged your promise? Have you?
Uncle, I...
If you have done so...
Worthy sir, I with your nephew wish a word. The queen is graciously inclined to him. She wills that to his custody, the Scottish queen be with full powers entrusted. She relies on his fidelity.
Relies? Tis well.
What say you, sir?
Her majesty relies on him. And I, my noble lord, rely upon myself and my two open eyes.
What ailed the knight?
My lord of Leicester, sir, I cannot tell. The confidence, perhaps, the queen so suddenly confers on me.
Are you deserving, then, of confidence?
This I would ask of you, my lord of Leicester.
You said you wished to speak with me in private.
Assure me first that I may safely venture.
Let not my want of confidence offend you. I see you, sir, exhibit at this court two different aspects. Which of them is real?
Here is a letter from the Queen of Scotland.
Speak softly, sir. From Mary. Her picture, too.
Now, my lord. Now I can believe you.
You know the purport of this letter, sir?
Not I.
Indeed? She surely hath informed you?
Nothing has she informed me of. He said you would explain this riddle to me. And tis a riddle. That the Earl of Leicester, the far-famed favorite of Elizabeth, the open, bitter enemy of Mary, and one of those who spoke her mortal sentence, should be the man from whom my queen expects deliverance from her woes.
I never hated Mary, Queen of Scots. The times have forced me to appear her enemy. She was, as you well know, my destined bride.
You let her be condemned without a word. You gave yourself your verdict for her death.
I hoped, and still I hope, to ward off all extremes, till I can find some certain means to save her.
These are already found. I will deliver her. That is my object here. My dispositions are made already. And your powerful aid assures us of a success in our attempt.
What say you?
I'll open forcibly her prison gates. I have confederates, and all is ready.
You have confederates? Accomplices? These friends of yours, know they my secret?
Fear not. Our plan was laid without your help.
And can you then with certainty assure me that in your plot, my name has not been mentioned?
Why, my lord, so scrupulous when help is offered you?
With blind and hasty rashness, you'll destroy the plans which I so happily had framed.
And what were then the plans which you had framed? What have you done then to deliver her? And how, if I were miscreant enough, to murder her, as was proposed to me this moment by Elizabeth, and which she looks upon as certain?
Did the queen give you then this bloody order?
She was deceived in me, as Mary is in you.
And have you promised Queen Elizabeth?
Ah, that you might not engage another's hand, I offered mine.
Well done, sir. That was right. The Queen of England now depends on you. And will the ready air make show of mercy? I may prevail on her to give an audience to Mary. And by this stratagem, we tie her hands. Yes, I will make the attempt. Strain every nerve.
Oh, away with feigning. Act an open part. And like a loyal knight, protect your fair. Fight a good fight for her. Invite the Queen of England to your castle. Or, has she thither followed you? Then show that you're a man. Keep her confined until she releases the Queen of Scots.
Are you acquainted with this country? Know you the deep and shallows of this court? Someone approaches. Go.
And Mary hopes. Shall I return to her with empty comfort?
Bear her my vows of everlasting love.
Bear them yourself.
Who then was here? I heard the sound of voices.
It was young Mortimer.
How now, my lord? Why so confused?
Your presence is the cause. Ne'er did I see thy beauty so resplendent. My sight is dazzled by thy heavenly charm.
How I envy others who can exalt the object of their love. The Queen of Scotland was allowed to make her hand the token of her inclination. I had as just the same as she to please myself and taste the joys of life. But I preferred the rigid duties which royalty imposed on me. Yet she was the favorite of men. And is it really true that she's so fair? Why gaze you at me thus?
I placed in thought you and this Mary Stuart side by side.
How now?
Yes. If it could be but secretly contrived to see you placed beside the Scottish queen, then would you feel, and not till then, the full enjoyment of your triumph. She deserves to be thus humbled. She deserves to feel herself o'ermatched as much by thee in form and princely grace as in each virtue that adorns the sex.
In years, she has the advantage.
I never should have thought it. Her griefs, her sufferings, indeed, if possible, have brought down age upon her ere her time. When she beholds your beauty, guarded by modesty and beaming bright, in the clear glory of unspotted fame, then is the hour of her destruction come.
I'm teased. Grant this interview.
Could you, but now as you are, appear before her, you could find no better moment.
Now? No, not now. No, Lester. This must be maturely weighed. I must with Burley.
Burley, to him you are but sovereign. And as such alone, he seeks your welfare.
They say she is not royally attended.
Would not the sight of her distress reproach me?
You need not cross her threshold.
Hear my counsel. The hunt you mean to honor with your presence is in the neighborhood of Fotheringay. Permission may be given to Lady Stuart to take the air. You meet her in the park as if by accident. It must not seem to have been planned. And should you not incline, you need not speak to her.
I would not care today to cross your wishes. Let it then be your fancy.
Oh, my beloved queen.
We pause briefly at this point for station identification. The National Broadcasting Company's production of Mary Stuart, starring Jane Cowell as Mary and featuring Jean Cadell as Queen Elizabeth.
Allowed to wander in the park of the castle, Mary, with the happy laughter of a child, has outrun the faithful Hannah and has stopped now to catch her breath in a sun-bathed opening in the trees.
Oh, freedom returns. Oh, let me enjoy it. You hasten on as if endowed with wings. Have I escaped from this mansion of mourning? I cannot follow you so swiftly. Oh, let me, with joy, drink in the sweetness of this crystal air. Let me, with joy, give thanks to these few friendly trees that hide from me my prison walls and flatter my illusions.
Alas, dear lady, you're beside yourself. This long-lost, long-sought freedom makes you rage. Oh.
Gentle Hannah, it is the active hand of love to which I owe this kind indulgence. I recognize in this the mighty arm of Leicester.
Oh, my dear queen, 'tis but yesterday they did announce your death, and all at once today you have such liberty.
Yes, thou, the hunting horn blithely resounding. Yes, thou, the echoes through wood and through plain.
Well, have I acted right at last, my lady?
Cornet, and Shrewsbury, too.
Your Majesty.
Do I, for once, at least deserve your thanks?
How? Did I owe this favor, sir, to you?
Why not to me? I visited the court and gave the queen your letter.
And is this freedom which I now enjoy the happy consequence?
Nor that alone. Prepare yourself to see a greater still.
A greater still? What do you mean by that?
You hear the bugle horns?
Oh, you frighten me.
The queen is hunting in the neighborhood.
What?
In a few moments, she'll appear before you.
Oh, why was I not told of this before? Now, I'm not prepared for it. Not now.
Your Majesty, command yourself and summon all your courage. It is the decisive moment of your fate.
Oh, for years I've waited and prepared myself. For this I've studied, weighed, and written down each word within the tablet of my memory that was to touch and move her to compassion. Forgotten suddenly, effaced it all, and nothing lives within me at this moment but the fierce, burning feeling of my wrongs.
Constrain the bitterness which fills your heart. The power is in her hand. Be therefore humble.
To her, I never can. Oh, this can never, never come to any good. Rather in love could fire and water meet.
Did I not see how she was moved at reading your letter? How her eyes were drowned in tears? Oh, it was for this that I came on before her, to entreat you to be collected, to admonish you.
Oh, truth, you've ever been my friend. They have, indeed, misused me, truth.
Let all be now forgot.
Is Burley with her too, my evil genius?
No one attends her but the Earl of Leicester.
Lord Leicester!
The queen approaches.
What castle is that, Lord Leicester?
It is Fotheringay.
My Lord of Shrewsbury will seek a refuge in this quiet park. Send back our retinue to London.
Please.
lady is that? What lady is that, Lord Leicester?
You are a sovereign girl, my liege.
Who have done this, my Lord of Leicester?
This past, my queen. And now that heaven hath led your footsteps hither, be magnanimous.
O royal mistress, yield to our entreaties.
Which of you then announced to me a prisoner bowed down by woe? I see a haughty one by no means humbled by calamity.
My sister, I kneel before you. Stretch forth your hand, your royal hand, to raise your sister from the depths of her distress.
You are where it becomes you, my Lady Stuart. You wish to speak with me, and I, forgetting the queen and all the wrongs I have sustained, fulfill the pious duty of the sister and grant the boon you wished for of my presence.
In everlasting silence, be buried all the cruelties I suffered. It was not your fault, no more than it was mine. I threw the blame on fate.
Accuse not fate. Your own deceitful heart it was, the wild ambition of your house. The blow was aimed full at my head, but yours it is which falls.
I'm in the hand of heaven. You never, sister, will exert so cruelly the power it gives you.
Who shall prevent
me? Oh, sister, you have constantly regarded me, but as a stranger and an enemy. Had you declared me heir to your dominion, as is my right, then gratitude and love in me had fixed for you a faithful friend and kinswoman.
Name you my successor, that in my life you might seduce my people, and like a sly Armida in your net entangle all our noble English.
I give up every claim to these domains. Greatness entices me no more. Say, Mary, you're free. You have already felt my power. Learn now to honor too my generosity. Say this, and I will take my life, will take my freedom as a present from your hand.
Are all your schemes run out? No more assassins now upon the road? Will no adventurer attempt again for you the sad achievement? Aye, madam, it is over. You seduce no mortal more. Those, then, my Lord of Leicester, are the charms which no man with impunity can view. She who to all is common may with ease become the common object of applause.
Too much.
You show us now your own true face. Till now, was but a mask.
I have supported all that human nature can support. Farewell, lamb-hearted resignation, passive patience. Fly to thy native heaven. Burst at length thy bonds. Come forward to thy dreary cave. In all thy fury, long suppressed rancor. Oh, arm my tongue with poison, dark.
Malige, forgive her.
So spews the viper forth her poison now.
I tend not to her rage. Away, away, my queen, from this disastrous place.
Our rank pretender spoils the English throne. The generous Britons are cheated by a juggler whose whole figure is false and painted, heart as well as face. What have you done? All hope is over now. You have insulted her before her favorite one.
I heard it all.
Mortimer.
Thou plunged her to the dust.
Leave us, good Hannah. You spoke with Leicester. Leave my letter to him. My picture, too. Oh, speak, sir.
Ah, thou art the fairest woman upon earth.
Sir, satisfy, I beg you, my impatience. What says his lordship?
Hope not from Leicester. Despise him. Forget him.
Oh, what say you?
What need have we of him? I will release you. I alone.
What power have you?
Deceive yourself no more. Now deeds must speak. Now boldness must decide. You must be free before the morning breaks.
What say you, sir? Tonight, impossible.
Hear what has been resolved.
We scale, my friends and I, this very night, the castle walls. The keys are in my power. The guards we murder, then from thy chamber bear thee forcibly. Each living soul must die beneath our hands, that none remain who might disclose the deed.
What, sir, your uncle, too?
Must perish by my hand.
Oh, that's so dreadful.
And should I be obliged to kill the queen? I've sworn upon my soul it must be done. What is the life of all compared to thee, and to my love for thee?
You frighten me.
Life but a moment, death but a moment, too. Why, let them tear me limb from limb with red-hot pincers. If I but hold thee here within my arms, beloved.
Madman!
Only a madman would neglect to clasp his bliss in folds that never made him loose.
Away! You're mad!
Then I'll teach thee before me to tremble.
They're coming. They approach the park. It's filled with men in arms.
I will defend you.
Oh, Hannah,
I.
Save me, Hannah. Save me. Come here. Leave the house to me.
Draw the bridges up.
What is the matter?
Where is the murderer?
Down with her!
Down into the darkest dungeon!
What's the matter? What is that?
The queen.
The queen? What queen?
What queen? The queen of England. Queen Elizabeth has just been murdered on the road to London.
Am I then mad? Came not one running by just now and cried aloud the queen is... No. No, I did the dream. A feverish fancy paints upon my mind as true and real which but existed in my frantic thoughts.
Flee, Mortimer!
Who's there?
Flee, Mortimer! Oh, flee! For you and I and all our friends are lost.
What has occurred?
Sauvage, that madman from Toulon has struck the blow.
The queen is murdered, and Mary shall ascend the English throne.
Is murdered? Who said that?
Yourself.
She lives, and I and you and all of us are lost.
She lives. Elizabeth, that monster lives.
The blow was badly aimed. Her cloak received it. Shrewsbury disarmed the murderer.
She lives.
Come, they surround the park already. Come. I go to hide me in the forest of the north.
Drive thee hence, and God attend your flight. I will remain, and still attempt to save my love. If not, my bed shall be upon her grave.
The Earl of Leicester and Lord Burley have met in an antechamber of the palace. They are quick to quarrel.
Now you're in your element, Lord Burley. A monstrous outrage has just been committed, and darkness veils as yet its perpetrator. Now will a court of inquisition rise in London here.
My Lord of Leicester, for such a victory as your eloquence has gained, I cannot boast.
What means your lordship?
You were the man who knew behind my back to lure the queen to Fotheringay Castle.
Behind your back? When did I fear to act before your face?
You led her, Majesty? Oh, no, you led her not. It was our queen who was so gracious as to lead you thither. A specious plan. And sharply pointed, too. It's only pity this sharp point is broken.
Follow me now. And answer at the throne, this insolent.
You'll find me there, my lord. And look you well that there your eloquence desert you not.
Now has my evil genius passed my steps. Alas, if he has proof. If now Elizabeth should learn that I have held a secret correspondence with Mary, how criminal shall I appear? Who comes? Mortimer, what do you here in London?
Lord Leicester, is it you? Are we alone?
What seek you here?
They're upon our track. Upon yours, too. Be vigilant. They know that private meetings have been held.
What's that to me?
But only hear me.
I know you not. I make no common cause with murderers.
I come to warn you. You, too, are detected.
What?
Lord Burley went to Fotheringay just as the luckless deed had been attempted. Search with a ferret scrutiny the queen's apartment, and found there...
What?
A letter, which Queen Mary just addressed to you.
To me?
In which our Mary calls upon you to keep your word, renews the promise of her hand, and mentions the picture which she sent to you.
Death comes upon me.
Lord Burley has the letter.
I'm lost.
Improve the moment. Strike before Burley and save yourself.
Save her.
I will. Captain of the guards! Guards, hold!
My lord?
Seize this wretched creature!
Seize Mortimer and guard him closely. A dreadful plot is brought to light. I'll to her majesty.
What wilt thou, slave, with me?
In arms.
Curse and destruction light on you all who betrayed your faith and your true sovereign.
Rush in and wrest his weapon from him. Mary, thou holy one, oh, pray for me and take me to thy heavenly home on high.
Queen Elizabeth, still burning with indignation, has summoned Burley to her apartment. She is now prepared to sign Mary's death warrant.
Is the death warrant ready, Burley?
It is prepared as you commanded.
She shall surely die. And Leicester shall behold her fall, and fall himself. I've driven him from my heart.
The Earl of Leicester.
I will not see him. Tell him that I will not.
The Queen forbids his presence.
Think, Burley. This might be a snare laid by the cunning Mary to sever me from my best friend. She might have writ this letter but to raise poisonous suspicion in my heart.
Who dares forbid me the apartments of my Queen?
Audacious slave.
If for a Burley she be visible, she must be so to me.
My lord, you are too bold. Without permission to intrude within...
Permission? I know of none who stand so high at court as to permit my doings or refuse them. It is from my sovereign's lips alone that I...
Out of my sight!
Thou hast lent him thine ear. I ask the like.
Speak then, thou wretch. Increase your crime. Deny it.
Withdraw, my lord. Between the queen and me... There is no need of witnesses.
Remain, my lord.
Yes, your majesty.
My lord Burley, produce the letter.
Here it is.
Read and be speechless then forevermore.
It is Mary Stuart's hand.
Can you deny your secret correspondence with Mary, and you gave her hopes of rescue?
I confess that she has said the truth.
You do confess it, then.
In your own words, sentence him.
Conduct the traitor to the tower.
I am no traitor. It was wrong, I own, to make a secret of this step to thee. Yet pure was my intention. It was done to search into our plots and to confound them.
Vain subterfuge.
Do you suppose, my lord,
to think, forsooth, that nothing can escape young Burley's penetrating eyes? In spite of all your cunning, Mary Stuart was free today, had I not hindered it.
How, you?
Yes, I, my lord. The queen confided in Mortimer. She opened to the youth her inmost soul. Yes, she went further still. She gave him to a secret bloody mission, which Paulette had before refused with horror. Say, is it so or not?
Whence know you this?
Nay, is it not a fact? And where, my lord? Where were your thousand eyes not to discover Mortimer as false?
Mortimer!
Was he to whom our correspondence passed? This plot it was which introduced me to him. He, this very moment, disclosed his plan to me. I took him prisoner and gave him to the guard. When in despair to see his work unmasked, he slew himself.
Mortimer!
This happened then, but now... Since last we parted, you and I...
For my own sake, I must lament the deed.
He killed himself, you say? Or did you kill him?
Yeah, but the guard who seized him. Captain of the guard!
My lord.
Sir, tell our good queen how Mortimer expired.
I was on duty in the palace porch. When suddenly my lord threw wide the door and ordered me to take the knight in charge, denouncing him as a traitor. And then he drew a dagger. And before the guards could hinder his intention... plunged the steel into his heart and fell a lifeless corpse.
This Mortimer died most conveniently for you, my lord.
You may withdraw. Her Majesty has heard enough.
Oh, what a deep abyss of monstrous deeds.
Who was it then, my queen, who saved you? Was it Burley?
A curse on her! Cost me all this anguish.
She must die. I now myself consent unto her death.
You give this counsel? You?
However, it wound my feelings to be forced to this extreme. It is my proposal that the writ be drawn at once to fix the execution.
Since then his lordship shows such earnest zeal, such loyalty, to when he were appointed to see the execution of the sentence.
Oh, I?
Yes, you.
My lord advises well.
It were but fit that my exalted rank should free me from so mournful a commission.
Well?
My queen, I waive my charter's privilege and take upon myself this hateful duty.
Lord Burley shall partake this duty with you. So be the death warrant instantly prepared.
Fotheringay, where first we met her, Mary of Scotland has come to the parting with her attendants. Anna, Paulet, and the others are in deep mourning, their blanched faces wet with tears. When Mary enters, she is dressed as for a festival, all in white. About her throat, she wears a string of small beads, from which an Agnus Dei is suspended. A rosary hangs from her girdle. Her hair is held by a diadem of precious stones, and in her hand she holds a crucifix. Her veil is thrown back, and she is smiling as she meets them.
Why weep ye? You should rather rejoice with me that now at length the end of my long woe approaches. All the indignities which I have suffered on earth are covered by death's sable wings.
I come, my lady steward, to receive your last commands and wishes.
My will, my lord, declares my last desires. I place it in Sir Amos Paulet's hands and humbly beg that it may be fulfilled.
You may rely on me.
Good sir, I have unwittingly caused you much sorrow, bereft you of your age's only stay. Oh, let me hope you do not hate my name.
Go your way. What wishes else?
Unto Her Majesty of England, dear sister salutation. Tell her that from the bottom of my heart, I pardon her my death. Most humbly, too, I crave her to forgive me for the passion with which I spoke to her. Oh, what ails thee, Hannah? Yes. Yes, my hour has come. The sheriff comes to lead me to my feet. And my dear, faithful Hannah shall attend me. I'm sure my lord will not refuse my heart this consolation.
For this I have no warrant.
Can you deny me, then, this small petition?
Disordered that no woman shall ascend the scaffold steps with you. Her tears...
She shall not weep, my lord. I answer for my Hannah's resolution. Be merciful. Divide me, not so soon, from my true foster mother, from my friend. She bore me on her arms into this life. Let her then gently lead me to my death.
Yield to her wishes. Be it so.
Thank you, my lord. I now have nothing in this world to wish for more. My lord of Leicester.
Mary.
Farewell, my lord. And if you can, be happy. To woo two queens has been your daring aim. You've disdained a tender, loving heart, betrayed it, in the hope to win a proud one. Kneel at the feet of Queen Elizabeth. May your reward not prove your punishment. Farewell, my lord.
Do I live still? Can I still bear to live? Will not this roof fall down and bury me? Yawns no abyss to swallow in its gulf the veriest wretch on earth. What have I lost? Where is the purpose now with which I came to stifle my heart's voice in callous scorn? See her head descend upon the block with unaverted and indifferent eyes. How doth her presence wake my slumbering shame? Now must she in death surround me with love's toils. What is that? They're already there, beneath my feet. The bloody business is preparing.
Madam, you hear what we are commanded to do.
Do your duty, miserere nostri, domine miserere nostri. In the dominus terrae non confunda ani aeternum. Give me the crucifix. My God, my comforter, my blessed redeemer, as once thy arm was stretched above the cross, listen now, be extended to receive me.
Come to the end of another great play, the 13th in our series. Next Sunday, we shall be doing Victor Hugo's Hernani, one of the first great romantic dramas, and we hope you will be able to come.
Today's performance of Schiller's Mary Stuart, starring Jane Powell, was produced under the direction of Mr. Edwin Wolfe, who also adapted the play for radio. The commentator was Mr. Burns Mantle, prominent American dramatic critic. The music was prepared by Mr. Joseph Hanty, who conducted the orchestra. Included in today's cast, in addition to Miss Cowell, were Jean Cadell as Queen Elizabeth, Alice John as Hannah Kennedy, George Gall as the Earl of Leicester, Earl Larimore as Sir Edward Mortimer, Dennis Toey as Lord Burleigh, William Podmore as Sir Amias Paulet, Charles Webster as the Earl of Shrewsbury, James Krieger as a friend of Mortimer, and Kenneth Cedeno as the Captain of the Guard. Series is an educational feature of the National Broadcasting Company. Next week at this same hour, Hernani by Victor Hugo will be presented. A study manual, part two, giving complete background material for the great plays by Blevins Davis, who arranged for the series, is available to our radio audience at the cost of 10 cents. Send coin or money orders to the National Broadcasting Company in care of Great Plays, Radio City, New York. Consult your local library for reading material on the remaining great plays of the series. Mary Stuart, starring Jane Powell and featuring Jean Cadell, was a presentation of the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.